So Numbers 9, reading from verse 15. Listen, this is God's word. Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. And so it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. And so it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. And so it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make 2 silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow, both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. And when you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey, and they shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness and your appointed feasts and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Amen. May God bless us the reading of his word. Well, this past week I have enjoyed being driven around by my brother-in-law. However, that leaves me as the navigator. And on occasion, my navigational skills have kicked in a few seconds too late. But in general, it is much better to have a personal guide with you in the car who knows the way and who can direct you. Even our GPSs that we rely on so much, they can take us in the wrong direction. Or when there's a detour, our GPS will keep trying to redirect us onto the original route. No, a personal guide is best. And the children of Israel had this personal guide, God, when they left Egypt in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And in our passage this evening, God gives Moses instruction on how to follow this pillar. And likewise, the Lord is with you, and he will guide you in every step of the journey. And so you are to patiently obey his commands in the community of God's people. So I hope you have an outline. Firstly, notice God is present with you in the wilderness. In verses 15 to 16. So Israel is about to embark on this journey toward the promised land through the wilderness. And this was a huge journey fraught with significant difficulties. Now, I've mentioned that we enjoy watching Bear Grylls. And Bear Grylls has been trained in the SAS, the Special Forces of the British Army. He knows lots of tricks to how to sustain yourself in the desert, some of which are uncomfortable to watch, but I guess that's what makes good television. But how about moving 2 million people? That includes children, elderly, the infirmed, as well as their livestock and all their belongings. This wasn't a light battalion crossing difficult terrain. No, this was a nation on the move. This would be an impossible task, except that God is with them. And he's present with them in the tabernacle, and this was where the glory of God had descended and resided in the Holy of Holies. And we read that the whole tabernacle was surrounded by this cloud of God. And through the night, this cloud had the appearance of a fire. And this is like how Moses encountered God in the burning bush. The bush was on fire, but it was never consumed. And so likewise, the tabernacle, it appeared to be on fire, but it was never consumed. And so the Israelites would never lose sight of the presence of God being with them. And it would be through him that they would survive this wilderness experience. Now, many of you are familiar with the story of Gladys Aylward. She worked in the city of Yangjiang in China. But during World War II, this city was bombed by the Japanese. And as the invading army came closer, she gathered up her children and made preparation, her adoptive children, and she made preparations to seek sanctuary in the west, in the city of Xi'an, a month-long journey away. And other children joined the group, so that she had over 100 children. Some of them were mere infants who joined her on this hazardous journey. And she could not use the roads, that would be too conspicuous. Instead, they traveled using trails and over high mountains. Their cloth shoes soon wore out. The children, the small ones, began to cry. They were all hungry. They arrived at the Yellow River, and she wondered, how would she cross? But unexpectedly, the Chinese army allowed her to use their boats to ferry everyone across. And when they finally reached Xi'an, Gladys was exhausted. She was ill. She collapsed, and she was in a semi-coma for weeks. She had a fever of 105 degrees. She had typhus, pneumonia, malnutrition. And finally, she recovered, and she testified that it was God who was with her throughout the journey. It was God who provided for her and the children. He supplied their every need. Well, you're also in the wilderness. You're journeying through much suffering and difficulty, even having to face the hostility of enemies. And that shouldn't come as a surprise. You've not yet arrived home. You're in the wilderness. But rather than grit your teeth and bear it, or try and escape, you are to trust God. And he will see you through it, for he is with you. Now, few of us enjoy long car journeys. But the worst thing is when the children, or you yourself, start asking the question, are we nearly there yet? Instead, it's better to do something. Keep your mind busy rather than watch the clock to see if you're close to your ETA. Well, in the journey of life, yes, you look forward to your destination, but that doesn't mean that your life here on earth is for nothing. No, you're on a pilgrimage. This is for your spiritual well-being. God intentionally brought the Israelites down to the Sinai Peninsula, and he took them through the wilderness to the promised land. And this was not a direct route. It would have been much quicker to go along the Mediterranean, along the coast, and then to the promised land. It would have been a matter of days. But instead, he took them through this long journey. And that's because he was at work. He was at work when they were in the wilderness. And he is working in you too, through your difficulties. And what's he teaching you, I wonder? I wonder if any of you have played escape rooms or escape games. Well, there's one here in Bloomington as well. This is a game where you and your team members, you have to work cooperatively to discover clues. You have to solve puzzles. And the goal is to accomplish these in a limited time. And it's often then you can escape from the site of the game. Well, the wilderness is a bit like an escape room. The difference, however, is that the goal of the wilderness is to bring you to the end of yourself, so that you trust God instead. That you remember that he is with you. That he is the one who is sustaining you through this time. As Scrivener says, it's to starve you off the mundane and to satisfy you with himself, so that you would rather have the desert with the Lord than to be filled in Egypt. So in the wilderness, you quickly become dependent on God. You recognize his presence is with you. And this is what Jesus promised in the Great Commission before he departed. He said, "Surely I am with you to the end of the age." And how did Jesus depart? Well, he was lifted up and a cloud took him from the sight of the disciples. And there is significance to that cloud. Earlier, the high priest recognized it. For when Jesus was on trial, the priest questioned him if he was the Christ. And Jesus' response in Matthew 26, verse 64, he said, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." How did the high priest respond? Well, he tore his clothes. He described it as blasphemy. He saw the cloud as being divine, and Jesus is saying that he is returning in this cloud. Ligon Duncan says he is identifying himself with the most graphic picture that a Hebrew saint could possibly conjure up as to the presence of God with his people. The cloud, this cloud which had guided the children of Israel through all their wilderness years. And Jesus is saying, even as he was received into the cloud in his ascension, that I'm coming on a cloud. Now, after Jesus is taken up into heaven, the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples. And how did that happen? Well, flames of fire was evident resting on each of them. And so cloud and fire, these pictures from Numbers, they're reminding God's people that God is with them. And as the pillar of cloud and fire inspired the Israelites, the Holy Spirit in you is assuring you that you are with God, that he is with you on every step of the journey. Well, secondly, let's consider God guides you, and so you must follow his command. Verses 17 to 18 and verse 23. The cloud wasn't simply to give them comfort. No, it was on the move. And so when it moved up above the tabernacle, the Lord is guiding them that they are to follow. And isn't this so different from false religions of the day when their gods had to be transported? The people would have to take them with them wherever they went. No, here the true God, he leads Israel. And so when the cloud moves, the people would follow. But when it stops, the people would stop and make camp. And that is what Moses says in verse 17. He also says it in verse 18, and verse 19, and verse 20, and verse 21, verse 22, and verse 23. Moses repeats this basic rule over and over again, that when God moves, you follow him. When God stops, you stop. Each time it's added with more emphasis. And this repetition is to emphasize that this is a command of God, It wasn't a suggestion. It's not God scouting out ahead and the Israelites are to catch up later. No, this was a command that has to be obeyed. Rico Tice put it very simply, and I've quoted him before, what God is for, you are for. What God is against, you are against. Now, what is interesting is that Rico Tice very publicly had to put this into practice. Rico Tice is a minister in the Church of England, and he has a special focus on evangelism. And many of you know he is the presenter in the Christianity Explored course. But he was part of the Archbishop of Canterbury's task group on evangelism. But he had to leave that task group because overseeing the task group was the Bishop of Liverpool, who had recently joined Gay Pride as a patron. And Rico says, I refuse to sit under his authority because I'm convinced the Holy Spirit will depart from one's ministry if you don't hold to orthodoxy. Jesus tells us in Revelation, I will remove your lampstand. And I made statements at the Global Anglican Future Conference saying the Bishop of Liverpool and I have different religions. I believe you have to repent of all sins, and there are some things that he doesn't think you have to repent of. And if we have church leaders that are putting people on that road to destruction, it is a salvation issue. And that is why we have to distance ourselves. And that is why I stepped down from the Archbishop's Commission on Evangelism, which I may say was grievous. I wept over it. I was longing to serve, and I found it a great honor that Archbishop Welby had appointed me to such a body. But I was having to submit to the leadership of a man who was contrary to Scripture. And so it was agony. And as a result of Rico's decision, he's been cancelled from many special events, including last Easter. He was meant to give the Easter message to the Houses of Parliament. But he understood that God's word is not negotiable. It is a command that is to be obeyed. And we see the Israelites obeying here, and you too are to obey God's command found in Scripture. Well, thirdly, notice you are to follow God patiently according to his time frame. Verse 19 to 21. So Moses, in telling the Israelites that they are to follow God, he emphasizes that they are to follow God in his timing. The cloud could remain above the tabernacle for many days, and they're not to journey. Or the cloud would remain only for a few days, and so the camp would have to remain there just for a few days. Verse 21. If the cloud remained in the same spot only for one night, they are to set up camp for one night. And if the cloud, well, it would be a pillar of fire, departed in the night, they are to move in the middle of the night. Verse 22, even if it was 2 days or a month or a year, they would make camp. When the cloud lifted, they would journey. Moses couldn't make it any more clearer. They were dependent on God to take the lead, and they must follow. It didn't matter how well rested they were. They moved when God moved. There may have been times when the Israelites were ready to move on, but they would have to wait on God. Duguid says, Moses wants us to be aware that this journey is at the will of the Lord himself, and under his direction, every step of the way. God's timing is something that we often struggle with. Often missionaries, when they move to Africa, have to deal with what's known as African time. In the West, everything runs according to the clock. It's all about efficiency. But there is a different priority in Africa, or at least in the rural parts of Africa. Keeping time is not a priority. And so the missionaries will have to learn to adapt, or they will get very frustrated. Well, you have to adapt to God's timing, or you will get very frustrated. Yes, you might not understand what God is doing, but you have to remember he is working out everything for your good. It's only afterwards that you will see the hand of God at work. Brown, in his commentary, says, we wish God would speak to us more clearly about why we are going through such dark days when it is hard to hold on. But waiting times are not wasted times. When the guidance we look for is just not there, we must calmly renew our confidence in God. There is some wise purpose in life's bleak experiences. And so you are to trust God. And you are to trust God and his timing. We have a phrase in Ireland, and maybe it's used here too, but when you hear of someone going through trial after trial, people will often respond, "He didn't need that with all that he has got on at the moment." I'm sorry if you've heard me say that. But the reality is, if God is in charge, that person did need that. Whatever the trial that it is that they are going through, with all that he has going on, you're not to question God. You're not to question his timing. He is at work. And instead, you are to trust him. Trust in his timing. Now, that doesn't mean you can't make plans. But sometimes we can get obsessed with our plans. We can't let go when other things come into our life and interfere with them. No, you are not sovereign. Yes, make plans, but also recognize that what you do is according to the will of God, and God knows better. So patiently wait in God's timing and follow him. Well, fourthly, let's consider, as one of God's people, you are to listen to the call for you to follow. Verses 1 to 7. So when the cloud moved, the people followed. But how do you move a camp of 2 million people? This is a mammoth task. It needed much organization. Well, God provides a way. There would be the trumpet calls that would summon the people. And so these trumpets are blown by the priests. They're not musical instruments. They're more like a bugle call to alert the people that they are on the move. And so the people were to move in an organized way. There wasn't to be mayhem. No, everyone understood it was their turn to move when they heard the trumpet. That was how you were to have good order. And sometimes the trumpet blasts were only for the leaders. It wasn't for everyone. And so we see certain individuals in the camp had greater responsibilities. And so the people would have to recognize their leaders and abide by their leadership. Well, God has given the church leadership. We have elders, teaching and ruling elders. We have deacons. God has given us older men to teach younger men, older women to teach younger women. And so respecting leadership is important for the health of the church. And so the church must follow its duty in proclaiming God and worshiping him at the direction of the leaders. Imagine if the Israelites didn't respond to the trumpet call. They weren't willing to listen to their leaders. Well, we know what happens when that's the case. In the book of Judges, you see it. When everyone did as he saw fit, and the result was anarchy. And likewise, in the church today, many believers fall into individualism. They think it's between them and God, that they don't need anyone else. But that's foolish thinking. That's not how God wants his people to behave. Instead, he provided leadership for the church to be organized, to be united. Like the trumpets of this passage, the leadership is to be a blessing to the people by supporting, rebuking, and encouraging God's people. And so it's therefore important that you follow the leadership to enjoy this blessing. Well, fifthly, let's notice, while you wait for the final trumpet call, continue to serve God. What's interesting about this trumpet call is that this is a lasting ordinance, meaning this wasn't simply for the journey, but also it would be for life in the promised land. The trumpets would continue to be used, and we see it would be on two occasions, in war and in worship. And when they go to war, they are to blow the trumpets, calling out to God to give them success. And so it was a cry to God, a prayer that he would come to their aid. It was to reassure the soldiers to stand firm. Israel's soldiers were conscripts, meaning many were fighting who were not familiar with this job, and so they would need this encouragement. And the fight continues today. We are engaged in spiritual conflict, and so we need reassured. You need to be faithful in prayer. And this is your trumpet call, asking God for help in the spiritual battle. But there is a difference. And the difference is that Christ has won the victory for us. The enemy has been dealt a death blow. And so in the fight, remember that you are on the side of victory. The trumpets would also be used in the feasts and the sacrifices. They are to blow the trumpet, asking God to pay attention to their offerings. They were part of the worship of God, calling upon God to bless them, to pity them. And so blowing the trumpet was an act of faith, trusting that God would respond, that he would deliver them from their sins. And likewise today, we cry out that God would bless us, that he would pity us, that he would deliver us from our sins through the offering. And the offering is that of Jesus Christ on the cross. And through him, we are delivered from our enemies of sin and death. So warfare and worship are part of the Christian life, reminding you that you live your life in the presence of God. These trumpet calls sought God's blessing. And so you too must seek God's blessing as you serve him. But there will be another trumpet call, a call that each of you will hear as one of God's children, because you're in Christ. And so you must respond. And we read of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Christ is coming back, and his arrival will be announced by a trumpet call. But this call is also summoning his people to himself. It will include the living and the dead who are in Christ. And notice you'll be brought into the immediate presence of God. You'll be taken up into the clouds. These clouds, they're not rain clouds that you're taken up into when you're on board a plane and sometimes you have to go through the clouds. No, this cloud is the pillar of cloud that we see in Numbers. You will be caught up in the visible presence of God forevermore. But as you wait for that final trumpet call, you are to serve God faithfully as you live in his presence. So as you walk through the wilderness, remember that the Lord is with you. He guides you in every step of the journey. And so patiently obey his commands in the community of God's people. William Williams wrote a famous hymn titled, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," which I'm sure many of you know. And he recounts the pilgrimage of the Israelites through the wilderness. And it goes, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield." Williams was an itinerant preacher in Wales. He traveled up and down the country preaching the gospel, and he saw that the whole nation of Wales was his parish. And so for 43 years, he traveled an average or over 2,000 miles a year at a time when there were no railroads and few stagecoaches. His ministry was not an easy ministry. He faced many challenges. But this hymn speaks of where he found his help. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, he found help from the Lord in every step of the journey. And likewise for you. Even this week, as you're in the wilderness, remember that God is with you. He will guide you. And so your response is to trust him. But listen for that trumpet call, and then you have reached the promised land, and you will be in God's immediate presence. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we journey in the wilderness, we thank you that you are with us. We are assured of your presence, and so, Lord, help us to obey your every command. Help us, Lord, to be patient when we don't understand your timing. Instead, that we would wait upon you. Thank you that you have put us into a community of your people. And so, Lord, help us to respect our leaders and as a result, enjoy the blessing of unity. And Lord, we look forward to that final trumpet call when you take us into your immediate presence. And so we thank you for the work of salvation through Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Psalm 73C. Psalm 73, the psalm speaks of God's presence with us. And you can depend on him for strength. He looks after us. He cares for us, not just here on earth, but to all eternity. So let's praise God, sing Psalm 73C.